Welcome back to the Daughters of the Moon podcast. We're grateful you can join us for another week.
We certainly are.
And we have a special guest with us today, Colin Hillstrom. He's been dedicated to human health and healing for over 30 years. He's a certified sound healer, life coach, and conflict coach. Colin has written several books on the subjects of self-healing, life coaching, and relationships. He's currently recording his second album with Alchemy Quartz and Crystal Singing Bowls. So, welcome, Colin. It's really exciting to have you on the podcast. I'm a big fan of sound baths and
you bet.
Sound in general. And so what is the alchemy and quartz crystal that you're recording? Like, what does that have to encompass?
Well, it's actually a particular type of bowl. First, I want to thank you for having me on your podcast. I think it's great. I love your mission statement. It sort of really aligns with the reason why I actually work with sound. Is yes, to kind of further our, so generally speaking, wellness and body health, mind, emotions, and that. But more specifically, actually, to really help raise the frequency of human awareness. And so, the alchemy bowl is an example, is actually the bowl that started the whole journey for me. Alchemy quartz crystal singing bowls are made of quartz, but the alchemy component means they actually are an alchemy. Between at least two or more constituents. So this particular bowl, it is a quartz crystal singing bowl, but it looks a little different than the typical bowls, which are white. This bowl also contains platinum and azestu light. And it's almost like walking into a bowl, into like a rock shop or like a store that sells gemstones, okay? And you go in there because, say, you want something of a higher vibration and you're really drawn to, say, amethyst for whatever energetic properties amethyst has. And you buy the gemstone, you put it in your pocket or, you know, carry it on you in other ways because you know there's a certain vibration that's going to help you with your physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual well-being. And so the company that makes these bowls, they use a similar approach, except they actually incorporate the gemstones into the bowl. So they, in this case, they melt quartz and they melt platinum and they melt azestu light, then they blend the liquids and then they cast the bowl. So these bowls sound, I would say, a lot more, generally speaking, more exquisite than a bowl that's just quartz. And there's nothing wrong with just a quartz bowl, but there's just like the added element, the added frequency, signature, vibration from whatever else in here. So, for example, this could be of interest to, I assume that most of your listeners are women.
We got a combination now.
Okay. However, this is equally true for men because we all have yin-yang properties, right? We all have inner divine masculine feminine properties. But the reason I'm saying this, platinum is known to help connect us with the divine feminine consciousness.
Cool.
Yeah, that's actually the main reason why I got started with this particular set. And this bowl was the one that actually started the whole journey for me. My wife and I, we were living in Banff in 2015 and came across a store that carried this particular brand of bowls. And I had already certified as a sound healer 20 years prior to that. But I'd never really found a modality in sound healing that really spoke to me. And then suddenly I find myself in this store and I had no idea. It was just actually... It was really, I don't know if there are coincidences or such things, but it wasn't. Okay. And I was stuck. I remember it was a Wednesday in May in 2015, and I was basically on my way to another appointment. And they said, well, why don't you come back on Friday evening? We always play sound baths on Friday evenings. So my wife and I went that Friday evening and went every other Friday evening. And suddenly, months later, I find myself working in the store and playing the sound baths. A few months after that, my wife and I, we had accumulated our own set of about 12 bowls, and they told me to move back to Vancouver, where I'd lived mostly since 1990, to move back to Vancouver with the set of 12 bowls and play sound bath and teach others how to do it. So that's what happened for me between 2015 and 2019. But yeah, this is the bowl that started the whole journey. And
that's beautiful.
It is. It is a sweet addiction. It's one that has no toxic side effects other than the culture.
Can we hear a bit of it?
You can. It probably won't sound that great over Zoom. That's why I actually don't do sound bath over this medium, but.
Yeah, I didn't get much from that.
Yeah, so a better way to get a sense of how what these sound like. I have a couple of videos on YouTube, but I have a beautifully professionally recorded album that you just look under my name, Spotify or iTunes, and with a good headset, you really get a beautiful sound.
Yeah.
Cool. That's very cool.
That is very cool. And I really love, that's one of the things I love about sound baths is that it just kind of takes you to this whole new other place with the different sounds that are coming in with them. And they all have such unique sounds.
They sure do. And so I live near Calgary. I live in Bright Creek. And this general area has actually an unusually high population of sound healers. And it could also be because that particular store where these bowls are available, there might only be two or three retailers in all of Canada. And so Cochrane is the location that used to be in Banff. And so there are a few sound healers that use this particular brand of bowls. And they're just very delightful sound that, I mean, there's so many different properties and benefits that we can talk about it relating to.
Yeah, sound absolutely. Healing. I think people would love to hear like some of the benefits that you can get from the sound healing. And, you know, if you were interested, how would you go about it? So I'd love to delve into some of that with you.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we see a chakra system here. I know you have one behind you too. Okay, and that's maybe the most commonly known or talked about benefit, how a sound helps to balance and align, clear the chakras. And typically, for me personally, every sound bath, I either begin or end a sound bath with a chakra meditation. I typically don't speak during the sound bath, but I like to begin or end. I definitely end with a chakra meditation just to actually help with the like integrating the sound vibration, like on all the various levels. So, for example, one of the benefits that sound is probably quite well known for is that the effect that sound has on water. And that's based on the research that this Professor Emoto did in the 80s and 90s, and it's well published. And so, and then there's different sound signatures. I think he did his research with 440 hertz. I'm not quite sure, actually, so I don't quote me on that. But just last night, actually, I'm more of a person of who's interested in direct experience versus intellectual understanding, even though that can help sometimes too. But I think that when you go into a sound bath, and if it's a well-played sound bath, it doesn't really matter what frequency range you use. If the bowls are good and they're played properly, every sound bath can generate a really beautiful experience. And the interesting thing that I found over the years, so it doesn't really matter whether it's like 5 or 90 people in a sound bath, even though everybody receives the same sound vibration, everybody has their own unique experience of what actually happened inside themselves. And that could be like having a sense of, you know, portals open to different dimensions. It could be something like a physical change or response. It could be just suddenly there are amazing aha moments. It's just like there can be so many different benefits. But the one that is probably the most profound but the least talked about is the effect that sound has on the emission of light on a cellular level. And one of the sound healers that has influenced me quite a bit on this journey is a French sound healer by the name of Fabien Marmont. And his remarkable book, I would say, is titled The Tao of Sound. And I met him in December of 2019 in Vancouver. No, that's not true. 2015. It was just arrived from Banff in Vancouver. And there's this beautiful bookstore and sound store called Banyan Books in Vancouver. And Fabien Marmont was there to do a presentation and a workshop. And I'd asked myself the question, I wonder how sound actually affects the human cells. And to my surprise and delight, he was the person who had already done the research. So he had commissioned one of the universities in Paris in the early 80s to check this out. And what they did was they took a human blood cell, put it under a microscope, gave it acoustic sound, and then used Kaelian photography to photograph the aura, the energy field of the cells. And what they found is that human cells always emit light when they receive harmonious acoustic sound. And more than that, like this ball happens to be the node of A. What they found is that whenever we are in the energy field or sound field of A, the human light, the human cells always emit pink light.
Oh,
and they, no matter how many times they repeated the experiment, like we always emit pink light when we receive the sound of A.
That is interesting. And I believe what you're saying with the sound baths, because I have been to probably 4, 5, 6 of them in the last little while. And every experience has been different depending on who played. And just like you said, I don't know necessarily that you have to be so, you know, have that research, some of it behind it. It just gives you a different experience. Like I've had everything from basically going out of my body to kind of almost into a past kind of lineage thing to just being relaxed and peaceful. So.
Exactly. So whatever you're ready for in the moment. And that's why it's so important to like go into a sound bath, just to actually be as open as possible. Like going there because on an inner level, the thumbs up, meaning that the inner guidance says, yep, and go to that. And I think that's really important. That's first, I do very little marketing. I just basically let people know when events are. And the very simple reason for that is that it is a high vibrational offering, and people that are already on the path and well attuned to the inner guidance will know when to go and when not to go.
Uh-huh. Right?
And so if the decision is already there, that it's the right decision, the right choice to make to go to a sound bath, and really the only other thing to do, because the decision is there, the intention is already there, and it's a pretty high level intention. That's why I rarely guide people to do any intention settings when they come to a sound bath, because they're already there. So that says something about their orientation in life, meaning towards the light. But then the next thing is just to like how to stay open and how to be in a sound bath without having any expectations, so that the magic can occur. And the magic never occurs between my rational thinking mind and whatever modality is being used. The magic occurs when I actually disappear, meaning that the ego disappears, that part of the mind just basically vacates everything. And now, like, the really beautiful stuff can happen. And it happens all the time. It happened to me too before I actually started playing. I had a really wonderful experience being a guest at a sound bath. And I was really curious because, I mean, the healing journey for me started in 1987. I had chronic bronchitis. I was 28 years old at the time. And I didn't want to take medication. And somehow I found my way into the whole field of natural healing. So I had quite a bit of experience already being on this path of self-healing. So when I found myself in a sound bath in 2015, I was curious, like, what happens? It was probably at my third or fourth sound bath as a guest. I wanted to know, I had the sense that what was happening here is with my own higher intelligence, meaning that everyone's higher intelligence, and the consciousness of the sound will actually orchestrate whatever is can happen. And within a couple of seconds of me asking that question, I had like a lightning bolt basically go into my middle toes on the left foot, where I had a really significant spasm for about 3 years. That came from wearing hiking boots. They were just too tight. I found a really good special for hiking boots. They were typically pretty expensive a few years earlier, but they didn't really fit that well. I made the mistake to buy them anyways. I tried physiotherapy in many different modalities. Nothing helped. So the moment of asking the question, what happens in sound healing, I got that response, like a lightning strike. That's what it felt like. Went to my middle toes. I experienced, it felt like an uncurling of the tension, and the problem was gone. And this goes like, wow, back 8 years. I never had the problem again. So I found that really interesting. It was like a revelation. It was like, the answer was there. I can't explain what happened, but I had the experience. And so since 2015, I've played hundreds and hundreds of sound baths, and I've had people come to me and say, I didn't want to really talk about openly what happened here, but I had this or that kind of experience. And in terms of healing, they're always really quite profound, and often they have something to do with the ears. People say it's just the way the sound actually moves through their ear canal. That's really quite interesting how profound those experiences are, because, I mean, right between that area, of course, we have the pineal and the pituitary glands too. So I firmly believe, and I don't have any proof for that, but it's a sense that I have, that sound can have a quite profound impact on really awakening the pineal gland and thereby kind of opening the pathways to higher and higher consciousness.
Nice. Which I think is great. And I know that they're starting to bring it more into modern medicine, into the more the Western medicine for like cancer patients and things like that. They're starting to bring in these sound baths for that. So obviously there is that healing, and I truly believe that sound does heal us, and you do feel it vibrate throughout your body, and it's amazing. Yeah, it can calm your mind. It can bring things to your awareness that maybe you do need to deal with, because it's like you said, you're aligning your chakras and you're activating those cells in your body.
Interesting you mentioned cancer, because at the very beginning when I discovered the book, I came across a book that was written by an oncologist. I forgot his name now, but it's a book on sound healing for cancer patients, which he uses exactly the same brand of bowls in his clinic, and in addition to other modalities. But I think that's, you know, for someone who's dealing with a significant health challenge, you know, to just be open to maybe using a synthesis of different modalities, you know, whatever it feels right for them. And that's what they do at that particular clinic. They use Western medicine and they use energy medicine. I think it's brilliant for the right person. I was once invited to play a sound bath at the cancer clinic as part of Vancouver General Hospital. And the interesting feedback I received afterwards, so they would like every week bring in a different alternative modality, right? And the person who coordinated these events and had been coordinating them for several years said that after the sound bath, he's seen more often interaction between the patients. Right after the sound bath, where they would sit at a round table and speak about their experience, but also not only their experience in the sound bath, but their experience with their disease or with their health challenge. It was the most communion that the coordinator ever witnessed after a modality was presented. So I thought it was really interesting that the sound might have like opened a little bit more of the heart, the throat.
Beautiful.
I don't know exactly, but I thought it was really quite telling.
Yeah, and it is beautiful. And I thought it was interesting you mentioned Dr. Emoto, because I really love the work, and I haven't gone deep into his work, but I loved, you know, when they were freezing the water and talking to the water and just did that, and just the vibration of our voice and things like that. And I think that's why I actually got to participate in a Kundalini yoga this last year. And I loved that part of it, because you're chanting and you're getting that vibration out there just from your own body. So I think it's so healing, and we have that power within ourselves to heal ourselves with that vibration of music.
There is so much untapped potential in every single one of us. Doesn't really matter whether what we believe in. It's just like we're so equipped, like the most amazing sound healing tool is the human voice.
Yeah.
So and I always encourage people when they come to sound baths, I speak about it often, just like the encouragement to use your own voice. So for example, I'm launching a brand new project right now, and that's why I'm recording my second CD, is to actually encourage people and give them some support to work with the note that is associated with their astrological sign, right? So for example, we have 12 signs in the zodiac, right? And we have 12 notes. So if you're born under the sign of Aries, you could, you know, be a good beginning point would be to experiment with how the note of C, which is the first note in the octave, how that feels for you. And coming out of the teachings of the Sufis, which is the vibrational aspect of Islam. So there's like some of the most remarkable sound healers of all times come out of the Sufi tradition. And they teach that the soul throughout all its incarnations has the same note. Okay. So you may be born in this lifetime, born say April 1st, and your sign is Aries, right? But your soul may have a note of B, which is Pisces, right? So the suggestion here is to experiment a little bit, like which of the 12 notes really feel best to you, and then use your voice to tone with it, right? Wow. It's an easy way to actually find a note and experiment with it. It's just like find yourself a free guitar tuning app on your phone. So load up the app, and on the app you can find any note. There's 12 notes, okay, and see which note you're most, first of all, drawn to listen to, and then maybe to hum to, tone to, and just see what happens.
Maybe oh, cool.
Yeah. So the human voice, everybody has, well, virtually everybody has one. Most
yeah.
of us.
Yeah. And
the other project I'm launching using the human voice too relates a little bit more to the fact that we all make a sound even when we don't speak. And there's a lot of talk about climate change these days. And I think that one of the most overlooked ingredients in the entire mix is just like, what is it that we are contributing with our voices? Most people use their voice in negative ways.
True.
True, right?
Yeah, very true.
And that starts with attacking oneself. Even, I'm just going to use an example, speaking to the first person, when I stand in front of the mirror, I don't even have to say anything. I just like any negative projections that come from me regarding me, like even if it's not audible, the universe hears it, nature hears it, right? So yeah. My suggestion is that like, let's become a little bit more mindful of the sounds that we are emitting and see what happens, because the most toxins I believe that we create on this planet come from the inside out. That's not to say that we should ignore everything else. No, not, but I think that the toxicity that we create with our emotions is like hugely significant, and nobody talks about it because nobody makes money on it. So, okay. Isn't it true?
It is very true. And I mean, I think that is, I agree with you, because that is like, I can think of how many times, right? You go into the bathroom mirror first thing in the morning and you're not always sunshine and roses thinking all these accolades about yourself. You're saying negative things, and we go throughout our day even saying those things without that mirror in front of us. And I agree with you. We emit that energy out into the world, and the way that it is right now with so much fear and so much animosity, it feels like, yeah, I think if we can watch what vibration we're putting out there, the better that would be.
I think everybody has a self-responsibility not to contribute to the discord that's out there, not to contribute to the division, because we all want unity. You know, that's one of the things I've discovered over the last few decades doing healing work, you know, starting with my own self. Just like, I discovered we all want the same thing. We want love, oneness, unity, okayness, you know, and yeah. And we can use, everybody has a voice to use that for, you know, just making a simple statement of gratitude is a very simple beginning.
Yeah. I love the gratitude practice myself. It's part of my daily practice, just because I feel like it sets my day off on a right tone about thinking about all the things that I have to be grateful, which is pretty much everything. And in its very sole essence for me is just that I actually have breath to breathe and be here and be a part of this world. And that's a lot to be grateful for. And
absolutely. I think we
sometimes we take advantage of all these things that we have in our lives that either other people don't have, or, you know, could be lost in a heartbeat, that we really have to be grateful for.
You bet.
You're right. And sorry, you were saying, Barb?
I just said, you bet, amen to that.
Well, and starting out the day that way really sets the tone for the day, right? So, right, I mean, it's easy to wake up feeling less positive, right? It's like really quite common. But I think there are some simple practices with just a little bit of willingness, just a willingness to heal. I think everybody has some healing to do, right? It's like, it doesn't really matter. I find, like I said earlier, I started on, for me, the journey to self-healing began in 1987. And it's like, it's a never-ending journey in a way, but it gets better because you actually gather more and more momentum.
That's right.
And and so what I've learned with that over the years is that like deliberately making some sounds, choosing some thoughts, like we just talked about gratitude. Like I find no matter how miserable or negative or depressed I might feel, I can always reach for gratitude, even in a difficult situation.
Yeah.
It's just self-discipline.
Yeah. Right?
We're so lucky.
We all did a little bit more of that because it's everybody's choice. It's not, I had a father who passed away with Alzheimer's, and that experience showed me that like the worst thing that one can probably lose is their mind. Because once the capacity to choose is gone, it's like, then it's just like whatever, wherever the wind blows, you got to go, right? But as long as we actually have a mind, there's a power of choice, and choice requires awareness. And I think that's why it's so wonderful to do these kind of podcasts, because I think it serves the whole notion or the opportunity to make, to generate a bit more awareness, right? And awareness leads to choice. And then if we bring in the final third element of vibration, we can see that we can discern between making choices of a higher or lower vibration.
Yeah.
One of my favorite examples of that is that if I choose to go to a restaurant, right? And if I look at two restaurants and they both have the same menu, what I like, you know, it's probably quite easy to discern like which one may be a higher or lower vibration. And it's just like we consume all the time. It's not just food.
That's right.
Sound comes in. I think sound is kind of a wonderful way to raise one's own vibration or the vibration of awareness. And that's how we get into this upward spiral. And we slide down a little bit again, but it's like it's up and down, up and down. But overall, it's just like climbing the mountain of life. You just don't always just want to stay in the valley.
You know, it's interesting because I grew up sort of in the hippie years. And so I got to experience some pretty amazing tunes and music in my time. And that stuck with me because of how it made me feel then, right? The freedom, possibilities of change, you know, where people was, you know, in the hippie time, it was about change, right? It was happening in the world. And it was to do with a lot of music. Music was the background, a lot of why the changes were taking place, you know, and the instruments that were being played and how they were being played, you know, like tubular bells, for instance, right? Oh, yeah. I don't know if you know that one in particular.
Oh, definitely. I grew up with that. Yes.
Did you? Okay. So there's a good example of fine tuning, I think, instruments. Even back then, they were trying to put that message out there to us that anything is possible as far as how it's your music or sound, how it can make us feel. And Tubular Bells was one of those songs. When I put it on, it was like, oh yeah, I love this tune, right? People would look at you like, really? Some people, right? And but that's not how I felt about it. It was like, I love this because it gives me such a range, a different range of feeling and emotion and all the kinds of it. So when I heard the sound bath, I thought, isn't that interesting? It almost takes you back there of the times of people trying to put sound out there in a different way. You know, I don't know if that strikes a bell with you or not, but it certainly did with me with the sound bath. I thought, cool.
Certainly.
You know,
it's very much about that. Like neuroscientists tell us that the human brain evolved on music and sound.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
But if we want to change, keep changing, evolving our brain, that means the music and sound has to change too. Otherwise, it's just the same and the same. So, right. I was born in 1959, so music was always my first love. So I was basically 10 years old when I really got into music. I remember the first time. I grew up in Northern Germany, and there was a music show called Beat Club. It was filmed, I think, in Hamburg. And of course, Hamburg's really close to London. So most of the acts came over from the UK. And I remember the very first time seeing The Who perform Pinball Wizard. I was 10 years old. Before that, I was into the Bee Gees already, and that was great. But my point is that it's just like music has such a profound impact on us. But at some point, we have to also go a little bit beyond. And I think most really great musicians, I think of Sting, for example, you know, a lot of people were upset when he left the Police, and, you know, he really changed his musical style quite a bit, maybe even took it up much by incorporating amazing jazz musicians. But I think like truly progressive musicians will do that, and they will not be afraid of moving on. So I'm not suggesting that we should no longer listen to Hotel California or whatever your favorite tune is. Right. But mix it up and bring something. Like Tubular Bells is like totally progressive. Right? It's like you cannot even date it. It's like so undated because it's like there never was anything like it, and there never has been anything like it either.
I agree.
So if your listeners, viewers have never seen or heard Tubular Bells, there's actually, so I think he made three different, there was like Tubular Bells 1, 2, and 3.
Yes.
There's some amazing concerts that were filmed actually in Scotland. I don't know if you saw those.
No.
Performances of Tubular Bells. It's Mike Oldfield. Absolutely incredible. But that's progressive music, right? In the early 70s, we had progressive rock, you know, like Yes and bands like that were really, really big. So in a way, a sound bath. So when you go to different sound baths played by different bowl players, for example, you'll feel also that everyone has their own unique way of playing a sound bath. For me, for example, I have a very musical streak. I also write music. And so there's typically a bit more of a melodic features, and that's how I put my set together. However, there are moments too where you suddenly find yourself in a completely different, on a completely different tangent, particularly with like binaural sounds and that. And they really help to open up portals into different dimensions, because the binaural sound, the left and the right brain just basically go like in sync. And you are no longer stuck in your thinking. It's a really interesting point to that. Often people will say to me after, at the end of the sound bath, we chat about the experience. They might say something like, I really, really was enjoying all of this. And suddenly these woo, woo, wah, wah sounds came in. And I liked it too, but then I felt myself getting really angry.
Yeah.
And I have a theory about that. And that is like, when we hear binaural sounds, and I'm talking about pleasant binaural sounds, they make it impossible for the ego mind to actually dominate the scene. So you could be lying in a sound bath and you listen to the sound, but you might still have a bit of a story going on, right? There's a part of the mind that tells things about yesterday or tomorrow or something else, right? The binaural sound, that goes away. It's like that part of the thinking part of us loses actually its hold, its power, and naturally you would get a little pissed off about that.
And that makes sense, because I've had that experience where I was in one and it's like you're just agitated. I'm like, I don't like this sound. Why is this? And then you start thinking about why you don't like the sound. So exactly what you said, your ego comes into it again, right? But
definitely, it's a sound way to get into the power of now is actually with binaural sounds. I mean, how much time and money do we spend to try to get into the power of now, right? It's like we take workshops, books, but when the rubber meets the road, we don't want to do it, right? And it's like, so I have to ask myself the question, what part of me is getting angry? Because not all of me is angry. It's only a part of me that's frustrated, right? So that's where it's worthwhile to do a little bit of investigative work there for everyone to see, like, what part of me actually is getting angry and what for?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be worth asking someone. Like, I never asked afterwards, like, what was that sound or what frequency was that? And I maybe should have, because maybe there was something in alignment with that that was really like, it was grating on my nerves. I thought, oh, this is terrible. Why, like, stop that sound, get back to the other one that I liked better. So that's interesting, because I think that would help a person heal, right? Because what are we trying to work through that this is brought up to the forefront for us to pay attention to?
Absolutely. And I just want to say, this is not, it can also be go to a sound bath and you hear some very unpleasant sounds. That's possible too. That's not what I'm talking about, because some bowls don't sound good. Some people don't play pleasant sound bath. I get that feedback all the time from people. And but if you have an exquisite bowl that is played properly and you still get annoyed with the sound, chances are there is a tremendous opportunity for healing. Because
really,
healing requires change, right? So like, something needs to change, and any change creates, if this changes, it creates friction, right? So we experience this inner friction, and how to be with that. I highly recommend for everyone to develop the practice of meditation, so at least one can become better and better at actually self-observation, right? So when you're in a sound bath and things don't feel that great internally, just like, watch it, breathe through it, it'll pass. If it's really bad, you absolutely can't stand it and you think you're going to explode, yeah, then maybe just get up and leave the room. Right. But it's just like, you see it all the time. So this is really interesting, but I find sometimes, especially the smaller sound baths, it's like, smaller, I mean by like 8 to 12 people. For some reason, when it's smaller sound bath, there's always the common denominator in terms of levels of consciousness, that smaller sound bath is typically higher. So what I find often is like, there are 8 or 12 people, and for a whole hour, I mean, say 45 minutes, I typically don't actually, the actual playing is for me no more than 45 minutes.
Right.
So people who are truly on the path and experienced meditators, they never move. They lie there rock solid, or they sit rock solid, and they're just like so into the experience. People who have very little or no meditation experience, they become fidgety because things get moved, shaken up inside. Right. Mm-hmm. That's an observation I've made, and I could be wrong. I wouldn't say that's always the case. But I've played enough sound bath and had enough observation that I would say it's quite accurate.
Yeah, I would think that too. Yeah, I would really go with you on that.
Yeah, because when you speak with people afterwards, it's just the comments they make, the questions they make, you can tell whether someone's on the path or not, or where they are on the path. It's just, you just know, right? Because you know the terrain. And so the practice of meditation, to me, is something that is a must for everyone at some point to begin a meditation course.
Mm-hmm. I love meditating. That's part of my morning practice. I have a morning practice, right? So my morning practice is like dream journal, and then I journal, and then I do a grateful journal, and then I meditate and I say some affirmations. So that's my morning practice, because it just puts me into the world on a different level for myself, I feel. And it's interesting with meditation, because there's that one quote out there that says, if you can't meditate for 5 minutes, then you should meditate for an hour. Because, right, we all need to have that, find that inner peace within ourselves. And I think sometimes people get frustrated with meditation because they think it's all about, your mind just has to be totally silent. And that's a hard thing to do. And you got to work up to that. So you just appreciate the moments of pause when you are meditating.
I just had that conversation with my 94-year-old mother, actually, a few days ago. Because she's starting to meditate. She has a neighbor who teaches yoga.
Nice.
And meditation. And I've encouraged her for years. My mother is like, I mean, she's been reading Marianne Williamson. And after the passing of my father 5 years ago, she wanted some help with, like, grieving. And I said, look, you know, I have some books. Would you want to take a look at it? And she said, yeah. But meditation, she didn't want to touch until recently. So, and so after her first class, we speak on the phone and she's like, I don't think I can do this. Like, so we talk about it and then she's going back for more.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. Well, hopefully if we're ever up in Bragg Creek and you've got a sound bath going on, we'll be able to hop into that. So that would be,
that'd be beautiful.
Where are you located?
We're in Camrose, Alberta.
Camrose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's that approximately?
Just it's east of Edmonton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can we come up in the springtime for a sound bath?
Yeah. That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I was invited to come up to Edmonton this fall, but it just didn't happen. It's, I don't like highway travels in the winter. So
that's fair. That is absolutely fair. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. You've got so much information about it, and I'm looking forward to participating in one of your sound baths.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
We'll coordinate that around a trip to my son. So it's like a win-win.
That'd be really nice. That'd be really nice.
Well, maybe we'll drag him with us. So can you tell everybody where to find you?
Yeah. So I have a website. It's my name, colinhillstrom.com. Okay. That's colinhillstrom.com. And all my events are on there. You know, links to books and recordings are on there as well.
Okay.
You find me on YouTube. I guess in a few months, I'll be able to see this.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, thank you so much for coming and sharing some space with us and sharing your knowledge. It's been absolutely wonderful.
It really You're has. Thank you so much, Colin.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Yeah. I appreciate it. All right. Okay. Nice thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, you too.